It's good to have a handsome and able assistant. As I said earlier, this morning we start a four-part message series on living out our vision for Chapel Hill. We have a vision statement as a church, and the leadership team has been leaning into it for the last year, using it as a guidepost as we consider programs, ministry, mission, and decisions. It seemed like now, at the start of a new year, was a time to pull it apart and see how it's been working and look at what it means. There's a term, reverse engineering, where you take something existing and you disassemble and analyze and examine it in detail. And that's what we're going to do together. Over the next 4 weeks, we'll look at what it means to be authentic, inclusive, Christian, connected. And each week, we'll consider what it means for you and I as individuals, what it means for us as this particular body of Christ, this tribe of disciples who move through life together, and for what it means for us in the world as we live out the mission of the church and live into this vision for Chapel Hill. As we begin, let me introduce a new thing. In your bulletin this morning, you'll notice something that looks like this, and I'll ask you to get it out now and take a look. This is a tool we'll be trying out during this message series, and we'll ask you for some feedback at the end. It really has one intention, to connect you more deeply to the message today and to help you carry that connection with you when you leave. The insert content follows along with the message content, and there are some spaces for you to write. For some people, written words, paper, and pen are great ways to follow along and learn. For others, it's distracting or unnecessary. So your invitation is to use it or not use it in the way that it serves you today. Please pray with me. God of life, creator of us all, may the words I speak this morning be acceptable to you. May we follow where you lead us today and in all days. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're going to begin with reading and talking about the mission and vision statements. These might be familiar to you. They're on the screen every week. They're in the bulletin. They're on the walls of the building. But they may not be. And so we'll explore them together. I'm doing some stage setting for the series this week, so hang with me as we all get on the same page. Let's start with reading our mission statement together. It's in that handout, and it is on the screen. Our mission as a faith community of the United Methodist Church is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. This mission statement is core to us for two important reasons. It is an adoption of the mission of the United Methodist Church to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. In our statement, we have claimed our place as a faith community of that denomination. And both statements are an adaptation of the teaching given by Jesus in Matthew 28, 18 and 20. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." These words are known as the Great Commission. They are the last recorded personal instruction given by Jesus to his disciples. They are also a special calling from Jesus Christ to all his followers in all ages to take specific action while on this earth. The why of this mission statement can't get much clearer than that. The vision of Chapel Hill is more specific to us. Let's read that together as well. Our vision is to be an authentic, inclusive Christian community actively connected to neighbor and world. This vision is grounded in the greatest commandment given by Jesus in Matthew 22. When asked what the greatest law was, the greatest commandment, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." The Great Commission and the Great Commandment. Pretty strong foundations on which to build. Are you with me so far? Okay. So we begin with the word authentic. In those scriptural passages that underlie the vision, this word most relates to the phrase, love your neighbor as yourself. Do you love yourself? Do you know yourself? Do you see yourself as God sees you? This is by far the most self-focused place that we'll be in this series. Truthfully, the only place we can really begin on a vision is with ourselves. We are emotional, physical, cognitive beings on a spiritual journey through life. We are a church full of humans trying to live out that mission and vision. We are, whether we like it or not, messy and real. We don't arrive that way. We arrive like this. Aww. We have all likely met and held a newborn baby. What words would you use to describe one? Just kind of shout them out. Precious, innocent, totes. What was another one? Yeah, soft, vulnerable, naked, unprotected, unafraid. In those words in Psalm 39, we heard, "This precious one, the precious one who was you, who was I, as we arrived, was formed in God's image, knit together in our mother's womb." One definition of authentic is this, of undisputed origin, not a copy. I am, you are, undisputably made in God's image. What an amazing place to begin. And then life happens. Even in those first moments, there are bright lights, loud voices, cold hard surfaces, but there is also the warm skin of parents and familiar loving voices. All we want as infants is to be fed, to be nurtured, to be dry and warm, to be safe. But no matter how hard our parents tried, no matter how hard we tried as parents, you cannot meet every need and want of an infant. And so we begin to learn how the world works and how we work in it. We begin to forget that we are of God. As we grow as these tiny beings who become toddler in preschool, elementary and teenage, young adult and middle-aged and senior beings, we learn what gets our needs met most effectively and what doesn't. Have you ever been in the presence of a 2-year-old having a meltdown in the grocery store while they are learning how to try and get their needs met? We work pretty hard at this. And those things that we learn become how we express our personality. This combination of God design, nurture, and response, the way that we meet the world. And some of those things that we've learned are helpful and positive. We learn to be smart, competent, athletic, friendly, social, caring, helpful, artistic, adventurous, playful, faithful, strong, and funny. And some of those are reactive. Life can be hard, hurtful, and scary, even when you're too young to know what to do with any of that. we're learning more and more about the effect of trauma on children and how it alters them neurobiologically to the core of their beings. And in that, we learn to be fearful, sad, anxious, angry, suspicious, shut down. And some of the things we just learn are protective. We learn how to defend our soft inner core. We learn to please other people at our expense, to be tough, defensive, controlling, silent, meek, the life of the party, avoidant. And by the time we hit young adulthood, we've emerged as this person, making their way in the world as best we can with all that we've learned. We spend a lifetime living with that person, learning some more, often unlearning and healing some of those early lessons. Who the heck are we? Why are we here? How can we be happy? Where can we find love? Some of life's great questions. There is a lovely story told and retold in which parents overhear their 3-year-old son talking to his new baby sister in her crib. "Baby, tell me all about God. I'm starting to forget." In all of the learning, what have we forgotten about our identity as God's child and creation along the way? There is another definition of authentic that I like. True to one's own personality, spirit, or character. The kind of authenticity that is about connecting to who you were made to be. When I was considering the visual image for this message, the metaphor that came to mind is snow. Go figure. We've had it. It went. It came back. But we've heard from the time we were children, each snowflake, each snow crystal, really, is unique, distinct, separate. Each is absolutely beautiful. Not always perfect, full of jagged edges, but beautiful. And as humans, we are more than the crystallized version of water. If God put that much design and beauty into a form of water, how much design and beauty has God poured into you? I'm going to give us some different language to think about our authentic snowflake selves. While others have explored the concept, Richard Rohr is a Catholic theologian, Chad has talked about him from time to time, who writes beautifully about layers of divine spark, true self, and false self within us. On the screen and in your bulletin insert is a diagram of this concept. At the center of the diagram, at the center of each of us, is divine spark, the breath of God. This is that newborn baby, the fragile human made in God's image. This most vulnerable and unprotected self may get buried under all those other layers, but it still lives within us. There are moments in our everyday lives. A sunset at the beach, an afternoon sitting on a mountainside, the birth of a child, a moment of incredible connection with strangers, a time of prayer or worship, that you just feel fully alive and fully aware of your connection to God in a way that might be electrifying, awesome, or incredibly peaceful. It's a thin space where we connect with God. How many of you have had at least one of those moments in your life? Just raise your hands. Yeah. Those are moments when you have arrived again at that center, that place of union with God, when you remember what you forgot. They are incredibly beautiful, powerful, and transcendent even, but they're hard to find and impossible to manufacture or contain. But they serve to remind us that we all have that divine center and that capacity for union with God. At the outer edge of that diagram is something that Rohr calls the false self. One way to think of it is as the shell that we develop that helps us to live in a world that at best is not always kind, and at the worst can be cruel and harsh. It is the mask, the shield, the suit that we put on to make our way in the world. It contains many of those lessons that we learn as we grew and lived, the ones that protect, defend, inflate, and enable us to move through the world. The problem is that this false self is also as far removed as it can be from the core of who God created us to be. It might work, it might be functional, it might even be necessary at times, but it is not the best of us. We are separated from God most fully in this space, and it is in this space that sin, which is defined as that which separates us from God, thrives. Think of these attributes of the false self: pride, control, misuse of power and authority, cruelty, selfishness, fear, greed, envy, numbing, revenge, lust. These are all seeds that can grow in this self that lives away from the will and love of God. Fortunately, we have a big wide space between that elusive divine center and that shell of the false self. This also kind of sounds like a candy as I describe it. But this big wide center is the authentic true self. This self lives, breathes, dances, and flails around in that space as we walk through life. This is the self that is happy one moment and snarls at our spouse the next, that alternates between compassion and judgment, service and selfishness, adventure and avoidance. This self has lots of both light and dark, sunlight and shadow. This is the part of us that surrenders a situation to God in prayer and snatches it away in anxiety moments later. This is where we are trying to be a good person who does good things, but where we keep tripping over our own fears, failures, and wounds. Does that place sound a bit familiar? The only way to really give an example of this is to rat myself out. So here we go. If you were present last week, Pastor Chad and I talked about our calls and our gifts. And one of the gifts that has been present in my life is that of organization and administration. And there are lots of places where that serves me well, has helped me at work and home, and lots of arenas. On the sunlight side of those gifts, they can create space and pathways for positive change, a well-running home or workplace, and structure for good work to happen by lots of people. On the shadow side of those gifts, I can be a controlling, micromanaging pain in the butt. There's one reason that, trying not to look at any of my friends while I say this, there is a reason that one of my constant gestures of prayer is this: just to open my hand, let go, let go, let go. Help me, Jesus, to just let go. So how do we, in our imperfect humanity, move closer to that divine spark, away from the false self, and live as fully as we can into our authentic, true selves? In your handout and on the screen, there are some tools listed that are helpful on our journey, a list that begins with awareness. Try as I might, I can't always prevent myself in a moment from being that controlling pain, but I can try to be aware, to notice my actions, to have the courage to make amends when I need, to be accepting, forgiving, and graceful with my own self, to love myself so I might love others. Another good tool is close friends and safe people who can remind you of your edges. You know, as I look at this snowflake, there's just kind of this core that I think of as that divine spark, and then these lines that radiate out where we live, and just the farther out you get, the more jagged those edges get, the more places God has to meet you and work with you. And certainly another tool is life with God and in community, learning and growing, praying and paying attention, hearing and pondering. Help us along the way. What are signs that God is working all of this out in you? In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, Paul lists the work of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We heard earlier those attributes of the false self. They contain the seven deadly sins. There were some other things. And then we hear and see these work of the Spirit. Don't those sound more like the kinds of character that God has created and wants to develop in you? We do some of the work by being aware, introspective, prayerful, forgiving of ourselves, courageous. But we also follow a God who both loves us exactly as we are in this moment and wants to transform us as we are willing to surrender our lives, jagged edge by jagged edge. While God is able to thump you on the head while you are moving, like Paul on the road to Damascus, it's a bit rare. Sometimes life will just stop you, and transformation can happen in that place. But the transformation often happens, and happens perhaps most gently, when we slow down and listen to God. Spiritual practices, prayer, meditation, music, community, worship, art, are all ways that we slow down with God. In the year ahead, you'll be offered some opportunities to try those. Come to a Tuesdays with Janet or an evening house of prayer. Walk the labyrinth on a beautiful summer day. Give them a try and see how God meets you. So that is a lot about me and you. What about the us in all of this? How do we live this out as an authentic, inclusive Christian community? Authenticity is not about letting it all hang out in the, hey, I am who I am, deal with it mentality. It is about being honest that I am on a journey, I'm imperfect, and I'm doing my best. Authenticity in this place is about not wanting to be a church where we all pretend that we are fine and our lives are fine and everything is fine and I am fine when we are not. When really we likely all arrive in some version of struggle on Sunday morning. We need each other and we need Jesus. We are human beings among other human beings, and that is both a recipe for great beauty and inherent disaster. We will often offend, insult, annoy, and hurt one another, most often without the slightest intention of doing so. My jagged snowflake edges meeting your jagged snowflake edges. I might have said this, but we're a bit messy. Next week, Chad will talk more about that messiness as we look at the word inclusive. In the meantime, I'll just say, thank God for grace. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespassed against us. How can we deny anyone else the grace that has been so freely given to us? And how does authentic connect with neighbor and world? I think it's both in the recognizing that we ourselves are messy and human and not pretending to be anything different than that. And it's about recognizing that everyone we meet, everyone that God places in our path, is also messy and human. They are in different places on their human spiritual path. They come from different places. They're going to different places, and we meet. As we encounter and connect with others here and in the world, we need to be sure that we're not gossiping or judging or excluding. We are just loving the best way we possibly can, making disciples of Christ, by loving ourselves and others like Christ loves us. May God meet you fully in this moment of the journey. May you feel the divine spark within and God's call to you to move a little closer. May you live with awareness and intention, with grace and peace, with connection to all others on this human spiritual journey through life. May you feel the amazing love of God in every step. Amen.